Psalter number 89. Based on a portion of Psalm 34 and then aptly entitled The Secret of a Happy Life. Notice stanza 1. Ye children, come give ear to me and learn Jehovah's fear. He who would long and happy live, let him my counsel hear. All 5 stanzas. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 is where we turn to in our Bibles this morning. Context of the text will be plain from the very first verse, but ever so briefly. Joshua has now been appointed the leader of God's people upon the death of Moses, and his task is to lead God's people to cross the Jordan and possess the promised land. Joshua chapter 1, reading the entire chapter, this is God's inspired word. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither thou be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for with 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan towards the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest we will go, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. So far we read from God's word. The text for the sermon this morning is verse 8. Let me read that again. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. May he bless the reading of his word. School is out, and summer has arrived. Beloved congregation, what plans do you have for the summer? For yourself and for your children? Would it include growing in and spending more time in God's Word? And therefore, would it include reading good Christian books and magazines? And leading our children to start that habit, to develop the godly habit of reading. Now, if we are honest with ourselves, reading isn't exactly the most attractive thing to do, especially when the weather is so good. We and our children would much rather do something else, perhaps even anything else, than to sit down and spend some time reading and reflecting. But truth be told, spending time in God's Word and growing in our knowledge and understanding of God's Word is fundamental, basic, and therefore vital for our spiritual health and well-being, unto life and living along our pilgrimage to heaven. For as our Lord Himself said, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4, verse 4. The context of our text, where Joshua was about to lead God's people into Canaan, and God's word of counsel to him and the people, gives good indication of this. Now, to be sure, the main counsel and the main command that receives emphasis in this context of the text is undeniably for pilgrim Joshua and all the pilgrims under his care to be strong and courageous. You'll find those words repeated throughout chapter 1, and in fact, it was started all the way back in the 31st chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, when the torch of leadership, so to speak, was being passed on from Moses to Joshua while he was still alive. Be strong and courageous. And so, very fittingly, the church visitors who came recently to us brought that same counsel and command to the council of Kalamazoo Church. Your leaders need to be strong and courageous. That is, we need to have strong convictions and we need to be courageous to act on those convictions. We need that. We need to be strong and courageous. But fact is, beloved, it all begins with having the right convictions. It begins there. We need to have right convictions. And so it begins with us knowing and understanding those right convictions from the Word of God. Hence the pilgrim's calling and our calling to meditate upon God's word, to know and to understand it, and therefore to spend time reading it, and as well, good Christian books and magazines that help us know and understand that word better, to help us grow in it, that we might be able to implement that word of God in our hearts and lives. So consider with me then the pilgrim's calling in relation to God's word. What, how, and with what result? Now, leading to the what of the text, what the pilgrim's calling is in relation to God's word, we do well to consider the occasion for this calling, which is challenges for the pilgrim along his pilgrimage. See that with Pilgrim Joshua. Pilgrim Joshua was, of course, not alone. He was a leader and he was called to lead God's people to a very important place, Canaan, the promised land of God. But before arrival there, the Jordan River needs to be crossed. And that wasn't such an easy thing. especially recalling the first failed attempt at crossing. In that attempt, Joshua was a much younger man. He wasn't the leader at that time. Moses was the leader. He was a much younger man. And in fact, he, together with Caleb, were two of the 12 spies sent out to survey the land of Canaan. God's people then at that time had refused to enter into the land. And that's because they received the evil report of the other 10 spies who were fearful and terrified of the giants who inhabited the land of Canaan and were also felt threatened by the fact that these cities that they were living in were well fortified. And very sadly, when the people then saw that they had sinned against God, they chose to sin against Him in another way. They chose to enter into the land of Canaan without the blessing of God and against the command of Moses. And the result? The result was that they were slaughtered by the Amalekites and the Canaanites. An entire generation of the people, all except for Caleb and Joshua, perished. And they would wander on in the wilderness for 40 more years. So it is now 40 years later. Moses has died. A new generation of people, God's people, has arisen, all born, quite interestingly, in the time of the wilderness. And they are now led by Joshua when it is time for them to attempt a second Jordan crossing. The task in and of itself is daunting and challenging. And now they were to do it without wise, meek, and experienced Moses. So, beloved, the failure of the past certainly loomed large in the mind of Joshua and of all the people. That was the occasion for the pilgrim Joshua, the occasion of the challenge of crossing the Jordan River a second time. And it's not so different with us, beloved, is it? For you and I are pilgrims. You and I are pilgrims on the way to our heavenly Canaan. Just like they were on a journey, we are on a journey to heaven. This world, therefore, is not our home. And like God's people back then, this world presents to us challenges, obstacles, hindrances, challenges. Yes, indeed, we all have our Jordans to cross. Will we succeed or will we fail? Which advice would we adopt? Will we adopt the right, the good and wise report and counsel of God's word? Or will we be rash and impatient and adopt the evil report? Will we choose the way of disobedience? And not only disobedience, but also the way of negligence, indifference, spiritual indifference, and even discouragement and despair. Throwing up our arms when we are presented with the challenge ahead before us and saying, what's the use? This is so daunting. This is so challenging, it's beyond me. Now understand, beloved, that discouragement and despair is a very well used and effective tool of Satan. And it has proven its effectiveness in times past. It is in this light and occasion of the pilgrimage and challenges that we face along the way that this calling of God in relation to His Word is given for both Pilgrim Joshua and for us all. To meditate, that's the main thing here in view, to meditate upon God's Word, therefore to know it, to understand it, to read it, to soak it all up, and then, and only then, to implement it. It's meditating and implementing the Word of God. For Pilgrim Joshua, that calling came to him this way. This book of the law, says Jehovah, shall not depart out of thy mouth. This book of the law. This book of the law would be his focus and attention, undivided attention in his life and leadership. So we ask the question, to what does that book of the law refer to? There are two answers we can give, two legitimate answers, the narrower sense and the broader sense. In the narrower sense, it refers to the Ten Commandments, which is, of course, the moral law of God. And that, beloved, is a summary of God's will of precept for life and living. Now, in the broader and more complete sense, it refers to the Pentateuch. It refers to the first five books of the Bible, from Genesis all the way through to Deuteronomy, all books, all five books, which undoubtedly Joshua had with him. So which one is it? I submit to you, beloved, that the context points us to the broader and more complete sense, the context of the very weighty task that was given to Pilgrim Joshua. That is to lead God's people and to lead God's people in the right way into the promised land of Canaan. For beloved, a summary of God's word doesn't seem to quite fit the importance of this task and the many details involved in this task. The Word of God in its entirety and at that time is the focal point and attention, undivided attention of Joshua. Now here let it be clear, beloved, that these five books are the Word of God and not the Word of man. This point needs to be made clear because that law is sometimes and legitimately referred to as the law of Moses. While that's certainly true and valid to talk about these five books of the Bible that way, understand that these five books of the Bible are not the word of Moses himself, not the word of man, but the Word of God. Moses was but an earthen instrument that the Spirit breathed through to give us these first five books of the Bible. And Joshua and the people regarded those writings as such, as the infallible, inspired, authoritative Word of God. And that's significant. That's significant because they knew well Moses. That he was not only the meekest man on earth, but also at the same time, he was also a weak and sinful man, just as they were. So that the only explanation that can be given to the attitude of an absolute reverence for and absolute exaltation of those writings is that they knew and received it to be the inspired written word of God. Joshua had a calling. Joshua had a calling in relation to that word. He was, first of all, most importantly, to meditate upon it. That is to say, he was to read it, and it's not just a cursory reading. He was to read it well. He was to study it. And there's more to the word meditate still. Not only that, he was also to muse over it. He was to ponder it. He was to reflect upon it. He was to think upon it. He was to remember it. He was to know it well, not for academic purposes, to score an A in a test, but for very real, practical purposes, to be properly guided through his pilgrimage and life, and in particular, with regard to crossing the Jordan at this time in his life. And so, beloved, he wasn't just to meditate upon God's word, he was to implement it. Every word he was to observe and do, so says the text. Every word, obeying it, submitting to it, applying it in his life and in his earthly way. The word of God, its precepts, its patterns, its principles, all of it was to flow in his arteries and veins, was to come forth from his nostrils and come forth from his mouth, and indeed show forth in his hands and feet. In a word, he was called to be a walking, talking implementer of God's word, a walking, talking, living Bible. That was his calling. That calling is also for us, for we, like Joshua, are pilgrims. We are, beloved, to read God's word, to read it well, to know it well. We are to reflect upon it. We are to take care and take heed to doing God's word for life and living, for our ongoing pilgrimage here in the waste howling wilderness of this world. And we need to be able to address also the Jordans and the challenges that are ahead of us and address them in the right way. Are you ready to face those challenges? To cross your Jordans? Do you know that word? Do you know it well for the purpose of preparing you to do so? In a word, do you read, congregation? Do you read? Now, perhaps some of you would say to me, but Pastor, we have sermons. And we have been instructed in the catechism for, what, 12 odd years? We've had Christian education. So do we really need to read and read and continue reading in our lives? Is it that important? Well, yes, preaching is the chief means of grace, but it isn't the only means of grace. And yes, sermons, catechism, instruction, Christian education, all helps to give us a good foundation. But the fact is, beloved, that our faith needs to be active and living. And therefore, we need to be engaging constantly in God's Word. Our calling is to meditate upon God's Word all through our lives, and therefore to read that Word, reflect upon that Word continually all through our lives. That's the divine recipe for spiritual growth. That's how Joshua, Pilgrim Joshua, grew. That's how ministers grow too, healthy ones. And that's how every healthy believer grows. In the way of constant, continual meditation of God's Word. Beloved congregation, biblically based and confessionally committed, independent readers and thinkers are vital and important for the spiritual health and well-being of the church, of the denomination, in fact, for us and for family living. How we need solid Christians who are good thinkers and readers, and that therefore, in that way, implementers of God's holy, inspired Word. So then we ask the question, how? How or in what manner are we to realize this calling, especially to read and meditate upon God's Word? The text is plain. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Focus on those words. Meditate therein day and night. Twofold idea here. That of constancy and endurance. From a negative viewpoint, let's be clear that God's word of instruction here is not telling us to be totally 24 hours a day meditating upon God's word so that we don't labor in the daytime and lose sleep in the nighttime for this activity. That's not the idea, not a continuous meditation of God's Word, but a continual meditation of God's Word. So that the idea here positively is that of constancy or persistence, constancy or persistence, and as well endurance or perseverance. Do it constantly, all through our lives, so that there isn't any big period or phase of our life, a session or chunk of our lives, that we are without this. And as well, be persistent and persist with reading and reflecting upon God's Word. Do it and be steadfast in it. Endure in it, persevere in it. The analogy here is that not that of a 100-meter sprint, nor a 1 mile, 5 mile run, but of a marathon. Remember, it wasn't so long ago that we heard, "Run the race." That race is a marathon, and part of that race and racetrack and course of life is this activity that Jehovah calls us unto, to meditate upon his word, to do it over the long haul. In fact, as long as we have breath and life and are able to read and meditate. So now from a very practical viewpoint, we ask, how shall we realize this calling? I think every one of us will confess to very real difficulties with regard to realizing this calling. Every one of us has limited time with regard to our life and living for this calling. We all have duties, stations in life. We all have tasks and responsibilities to attend to that demand our time and attention. Dads have jobs to do. And when dads are home, it may be too that they can't just spend all that time with the family. Perhaps other duties beckon. At school, if you were serving to help the school, or at church, if you are an office bearer, or performing some function in a committee, there's things to do. How about moms? Well, moms are constantly busy, aren't they? Moms are busy cooking, cleaning, caring for younger brothers and sisters. Or else if they're out of the house, they're chauffeuring, they're grocery shopping, they're running errands, and they seldom too have any downtime except till close to bedtime. Fact is, beloved, we all have our own thing to do. Young parents, retirees, singles, youths, children. And besides, it takes time and effort to unearth the riches of God's word. And while it is true that the scriptures are clear and perspicuous, that's one attribute of the scriptures, the scripture is also deep, very deep. And if one takes the time to ponder over it with regard to life, the application can be so broad and comprehensive, not just on this specific circumstance, but all those other ones as well. I mean, of course, we could spend 5 to 10 minutes reading one chapter of the Bible at the dining table, or else we could do that ourselves, have a quick read of the Bible personally ourselves. But we all know deep down inside, don't we, that we get so very little from doing that, other than maybe to put a check mark in the check box to say, well, we've read God's word, we are reading God's word daily. And then, of course, there's the problem of motivation. We're not always super motivated to read, are we? So then how are we going to make good on this calling that God gives to us to meditate upon God's word and then to implement it? Well, here are 3 practical hows for us. Practical how number 1, besides reading our Bibles, we do well, I say very well, to read good Christian books and magazines. Now, we ought to be very careful here and emphasize good Christian books and magazines. and obviously not the free trash or even poison that arrives in our mailboxes. Good Christian books and magazines. Why? Why, you ask? Doesn't the text tell us here to meditate upon the written word of God? Well, yes, that's obvious, of course. And understand, beloved, I am in no way equating good Christian books and magazines to the Bible. There is no book that can compare with the Bible, God's holy, inspired word. But here's the point. We are living late in time and history, and God has seen it fit to give to the church men gifted with insight in the scriptures to unearth some, just some of its wonderful, wonderful riches. God has raised up men to do that. And we said moments ago, didn't we, that the scriptures, though clear, are also very deep. And very deep. And as well, we could benefit from the insight not only as to the meaning and depths of the text, but also as to the application. Sometimes you will find very different applications of that word as they are presented by these godly men of the past and still today. Fact is, beloved, that God has gifted men such as Martin Luther, John Calvin, B.B. Warfield, William Hendrickson, Abraham Kuyper, Herman Hoeksema, and many, many, many more also beyond our circles. And he's seen it fit to preserve these books so that we would be proud and foolish if we were to ignore the writings of these men. Read them, but be a thoughtful and discerning reader. Not everything that they write, of course, is gold, unlike the scriptures. Be thoughtful, be discerning, and in that way, glean and be blessed by the use of these books, the reading of these good books and magazines. That's practical how, number one. Practical how, number two, pertains to our children. Now especially is the time and season, summer time, when our children are yet young, to help them develop and cultivate the godly habit of good religious reading. Today, there are so many things that take attention, the attention of our children, away from reading. To be sure, our children shouldn't only be reading. I am not at all advocating that. They should be playing. They should also be having fun, especially in summer. And all of that is what God provides for them as part of a well-balanced childhood and development. And to be sure, Scripture does speak positively of children playing and even playing together. Let our children play. And even if it's possible, play together. If some mothers want to call one another to meet at a certain playground to play together, let them do that in summer. That's good and healthy, but let us not neglect cultivating the habit of reading. There ought be time also for reading, and parents can help select biblical books that are most suitable for their children and for their age. They can nurture their faith with books such as Pilgrim's Progress, as well as Bible survey books full of pictures and maps, Bible atlases, even Bible history books, not presented per se as Bible history or church history, but maybe in the form of biographies. And lately, too, there's an effort and a push in our circles to promote that excellent magazine called Ignite. And you'll find in that magazine all kinds of short clips and selections for children of various age groups. Material is in abundance. Here, too, parents, and I would say even grandparents, and yes, also uncles and aunts, all should get in the act here as much as possible to encourage the covenant children of our congregation to read. How? To read with them. To sit with them, to open the book, actually to point at the words, to read with them, maybe even to explain the page to them or the sentence to them, to read with them. And maybe it's the same book, and to read with them the book once over, twice over. New things pop up in the minds of our children when these pages are read and repeated, just as new things pop up with us when we read our Bibles or read our favorite Christian books over again. Do little things and take small steps, little steps, to develop and nurture the godly habit of religious reading with our children. It's all part of our calling to train up our children. Train up a child, Proverbs 22, verse 6, in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Adult readers are not accidental. Adult readers come to be adult readers because the habit of reading was cultivated and nurtured from young. That's practical how number two. Practical how number three. If you are somewhat new and raw to reading, and you confess not to be a good reader, don't worry about it. None of us start out as good readers. Then, like practical how number two, start small yourself. Take a small step. Take a small step and understand, I speak to you now as adults, and you will understand this with me, and understand that there's a blessed reward with reading and keeping at it and reading and reflecting upon it constantly, continually through life. You see, reading and meditating upon God's word will pay handsome dividends in the course of time. It's much like an IRA retirement fund. Or if I didn't grow up in this country, like a piggy bank. Remember my parents had for me a piggy bank, a plastic elephant with a coin slot in there, and my parents encouraged me to put some money in there every week. Don't spend all your pocket money, put some coins in there. And when the animal is stuffed with coins, it's time to bring the animal to the bank to deposit the money in it, and you keep doing that and doing that And in doing that and doing that, and what happens? It grows. It all accumulates. Well, reading and meditating upon God's word throughout life is just like that. A little bit at a time, constantly, enduringly, keeping at it. It all accumulates. It all piles up. It all builds up. And it will pay handsome dividends over the course of life. You don't have to wait to the very end. You're constantly reaping the benefits. You don't have to withdraw from the bank and it's gone. It's constantly there. It's a spiritual repository of wealth that sticks with you through life. And when the benefits and dividends of reading are had and applied, we not only profit from it ourselves, but our families, our spouse and children profit from it. Our church family profits from it. And if the Lord calls you to serve in the special offices especially, the denomination profits from it, from Bible, biblically based, confessionally committed, independent readers and thinkers and implementers of God's word. At bottom, it is all because God is faithful to us. Just as he was to Pilgrim Joshua and the people back then with their immediate needs. Yes, blessing is enjoyed in the way of obedience. That's the how. How possible? How is it possible for us to realize this calling? Oh, certainly not on our own strength, but Christ. Joshua, being a type of Jesus Christ himself, points us that way. Christ himself, by his Spirit, given us on account of the cross. And specifically, the Spirit of Christ in a twofold way. As Spirit of truth and Spirit of wisdom. First, as Spirit of truth. Recall from last Sunday morning's sermon that the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ is the Spirit of truth. And what does he do as Spirit of truth? He leads and guides us to a correct and greater, deeper understanding of God's word of truth, of the Logos. He's the divine spotlight that shines the light on the truth of God's word, leading believers to remember, to understand more deeply, to apply better that holy word of truth. In the way of a constant reading and meditating, we grow and mature in God's truth. These things take time. They're not instantaneous. Just as time is needed for little shrubs to grow, to become strong and tall trees with a good root system established, in the way of a constant feeding of good nutrients, so also time and constancy is needed for us and for our children to become strong, tall Christians, useful to God and his church, bringing glory, much glory, to his name. First, Spirit of truth. Second, as Spirit of wisdom, the Holy Spirit of Christ as the Spirit of wisdom, working in us then to translate that knowledge gleaned from the Bible, to translate it and adapt it to life, very practical life and living. Only God working in us can convert that knowledge we glean to wisdom. Knowledge is knowledge. We may know the right thing, we may have the right convictions, but adapting it and implementing it in that situation with regard, with consideration as to where our children are at spiritually and all the information and details around the circumstances, that's wisdom. It takes the Holy Spirit of wisdom working in us to make us to be strong, wise, and as well, careful, courageous Christians, to put what we obtain in knowledge into practice. Knowing rightly, being wise about it, and doing the will of God in the right manner, not rashly, not proudly and judgmentally, but humbly, gently. Bringing God's people together, not carving them up, bringing God's people together in love. Only the Spirit of Jesus Christ, crucified for us, is the possibility for us in all these things. And it all begins with reading and meditating upon His Word, using good Christian books and magazines, investing our time throughout our lives in it. And summer is a great time for our children to be led by us as parents, and then as assistants, grandparents, uncles, and aunts to this wonderful activity. And with what result? We pray the Lord willing, the same result as Jehovah's sure promise to Pilgrim Joshua in the text. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Prosperity and success. For us, for our families, extended families, and the church family here at KPRC, may He bless. Amen. Heavenly Father, please bless this word, a word which reminds us of our calling to spend time with thy word and to grow in it, and therefore to use the resources, the rich and many resources available to help us and our children grow with our knowledge and understanding of thy word, thy great, wonderful word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. Bless us, for we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.